Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You know that our church meets at a Christian school in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center? Well, Monday night, they showed a movie for their staff. Monday after school, the movie is one that my family and I saw a few months ago in a local theater. It's called Facing the Giants. And this is part of a trend that we are able as Christians to go to movie theaters and see movies that are not hostile and are not insulting to Christianity and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Facing the Giants was a fabulous movie. It's a high school football movie with a Christian coach, and what a neat show. We saw it with our young boys, and we loved it. We've encouraged others to see it. Well, they showed it Monday to their staff at Maranatha Christian Center. There's probably 100 staff members, but I think the teachers and teachers' assistants, I think, are the ones who saw the movie, and they were blessed by it. Tuesday, they showed the movie to part of the student body, 7th through 12th graders, and what an experience they had. There was really an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Maranatha yesterday, just a revival, where kids who don't normally openly ask God in front of their friends to forgive them, to save them, those who were not saved, kids who are saved to give their testimonies, and kids gave their lives to the Lord yesterday, and that's extraordinary. And Maranatha is showing this movie to the public, and I know a lot of people around the country listen to Bob Enyart Live, so you guys will have to go to your video rental store to get this movie, Facing the Giants, but it's going to be shown to the public, whoever would like to come, free admission, Friday, March 16th. In fact, we have a commercial that we can play for you. Do we have that ready? Let's hear that.
You loved it in the theater or heard about it in the media. Facing the Giants, the film that inspired millions of moviegoers to never give up and never back down.
We need to give God our best in every area, and if we win, we praise Him. And if we lose, we praise Him.
And never lose faith.
For the rest of your life, you will remember today. I want you to remember that you held nothing back. You did not lose heart. You did not stop fighting. You did not quit.
Experience this incredible movie all over again, or for the first time, and believe.
I can't believe what I've just seen.
Now you can see this remarkable movie at a special showing in your city. Here's the announcer with details.
Come to Maranatha Christian Center Friday, March 16th for a 7 p.m. showtime for Facing the Giants. There's no admission charge, so we'll see you at Maranatha in Arvada at 72nd and Oak, March 16th at 7 p.m. That is going to be fun, and I can't wait. And you're invited. Hey, afterward, can we all go out for coffee? I'm an extrovert, so I always get in trouble. Always want to continue talking. All right. On the show, was it just the last couple days, we talked about Rudy Giuliani, and he wants the Republican nomination for president. He wants to be the party's presidential candidate. And I mentioned that he has different positions, and some of his positions are bad, but they're not as bad as others. And someone wanted to know, aren't all sins equal? And this is something we talk about here at Bob Enyart Live, because so many Christians have been taught that all sins are equal. And of course, that's not a biblical teaching. That is one of the Christian cliches that is believed without question. It's ubiquitous. It's throughout the body of Christ, around the world, but it's not biblical. And so I'd like to give you a few verses, let you think through that all sins are not equal. And there's just one verse that should just end the whole issue. Because the Lord said it, it's as clear as day. He was speaking to Pontius Pilate in John 19, verse 11, and he said, warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to silence anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So let this warning be fair notice to you that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay. So in John 19:11, Jesus is speaking to Pontius Pilate, and he says that the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. You know, it was Israel's high priest, Caiaphas. He was the lead official who wanted Jesus Christ crucified. And so they brought the Lord from Caiaphas's, from his home, his compound actually, to Pilate. And so Jesus said to Pilate, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So that does, I mean, sometimes people don't quite realize when their question has been answered, but that does answer the question to anyone who wondered, well, are all sins equal? No, they're not. The Jewish high priest, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom less is given, less is required. Pilate was a pagan. He's a Roman. He wasn't born into the heritage of the covenant of circumcision and the Mosaic law. He's not part of Israel's Levitical priesthood of the sons of Aaron. He's a Roman. He's a pagan. He should have known that Jesus Christ was innocent, and he should have looked into the claims of Jesus Christ, but he didn't, and so he was guilty. He sinned. But Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Annas, the former high priest, Caiaphas, he had the greater sin. So are all sins equal? If all sins are equal, there's no lesser sin and greater sin. But Jesus said, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So that does answer the question, if it creeps into somebody's mind, the bizarre notion that it is. How could all sins be equal? How could that be? If someone is at work and they steal a pencil and they take it home, okay, that's wrong. That's wrong. But if someone else kidnaps a child and kills the child for ransom, that's worse. That's worse. It's worse before men. It's worse before God. Ezekiel. The Lord is speaking through Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, the Jewish prophet, in chapter 16. And he says, you who judged your sisters. You know, Israel was split between northern Israel and southern Israel. Northern Israel, Samaria, Israel, and then southern Israel was Judah. And they would be called sisters, the elect sister, the elect lady and her sister, so on. Well, you who judged your sisters bear your own shame, because the sins which you committed were more abominable than theirs. They are more righteous than you. Yes, be disgraced also and bear your own shame because you justified your sisters. Wow. God was mad at Judah there. God was mad at southern Israel there in Ezekiel chapter 16. Our phone number here at Bob and Yurt Live is 1-800-836-9278. Remember Jesus said it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around this one's neck and it be thrown into the sea than for him to cause a little one to stumble? Jesus gets pretty angry at sin, because sin is when we hurt one another. And if somebody hurts one of my kids, I get angry. Angry. And God looks at us as his children, and he gets angry if someone hurts you, or if you hurt someone else. In 1 John chapter 5, all unrighteousness is sin, but there is sin not leading to death. Now, that's a theological issue that we won't get into right now. Also, the unpardonable sin, and we won't talk about those details right now because they're fascinating, but they're outside of the scope of what I want to communicate. You will hear someone say all sins are equal. You'll hear Christians say that, Sunday school teacher, maybe even those in greater authority. And when you hear that, just realize that what you're hearing is a cliche. It's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible teaching. It's a cliche. And Christian cliches are believed as though they came from the mouth of God himself. and they did not. Scripture trumps cliches. Jesus said, you take your tradition and you use it to discount the Word of God. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. So what else? What else did the Lord say? In Luke chapter 12, he said that some unbelievers, some shall be beaten with many stripes. He's speaking of the judgment day. Some shall be beaten with many stripes, but others shall be beaten with few. Now, why would that be? Why would their punishments be different? If all sin is equal, then all judgment should be equal. You're either saved or not saved. And if you're saved, then all the rewards should be equal because you're all saved. But all the rewards are not equal. The Apostle Paul tells us that some will receive rewards, some believers, and other believers will see their works burned up as if wood, hay, and stubble. Burned up because they were deeds done in the flesh. And so the reward for the believer is not an equal award that everybody gets, like God is the great communist in the sky who believes in egalitarianism above all else. Everything has to be equal. No, that's humanism, and that should be condemned. But God is a real God. He's not a make-believe God. And so he gets especially angry at some sins. Now, when Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when she took that fruit and ate from it, and when Adam did also, that was sin. That's rebellion. That separates you from God. Death is separation. Adam and Eve were spiritually separated from God. They died spiritually, and that spiritual death eventually caused them to die physically, in that their body separated, their physical body separated from their soul and their spirit. And that's when you die. When your soul spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Up until that point, you're not dead. If your heart stops, you're not dead. They could even put a new heart in you, you're not dead. But when your brain finally is dead, it appears that your soul and your spirit are connected to your body through your brain. So that we could cut off our limbs and we're still fully the person we were. We could get a different heart and we don't take on the personality of the donor of the heart. Right? That's the stuff of science fiction. That's not real. But don't expect a brain transplant. Don't expect that. So they took a living brain and put it into some other organism, that person would go along with the brain. Because that's where our soul spirit is interfaced to our body. And that's probably why the brain is so wildly complex. Next to human DNA, the brain is the most complex assembly of matter in the universe. It's just awesome, the human brain. And so that's the interface. It's this bandwidth, a connection to our soul and our spirit. So now, Jesus says that some will be beaten with many stripes, and others shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I came to send fire on the earth. That's judgment. And how I wish it were already kindled, said the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to send fire on the earth. You know, he came to save the earth, but also to send fire on the earth. And he's speaking of judgment. Some shall be beaten with many stripes. Remember the Lord in Matthew 23? He was slamming the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. How's that one? How could you receive greater condemnation if all sin is equal? Well, the Pharisees, they were the Bible teachers. They took the Bible literally, and the Lord would call them hypocrites. Jesus did a lot of name calling, I'll tell you that. He called them hypocrites. Now today, if a Christian calls somebody a hypocrite, that Christian might get condemned by other believers for not being Christ-like. Now, I can't quite figure that out. But all sins are not equal. But when the body of Christ has been mesmerized, somebody on some Christian TV station says, all sins are equal. And millions of Christians in unison, they chant as though it were a mantra. All sins are equal. The TV says, all sins are equal. And the Christians say, all sins are equal. And they start drooling down their mouth as, all sins are equal. They don't think. All you have to do is think, and you'll know that God treats some sinners more harshly than others. The Bible says that a starving man steals a loaf of bread, and he's not despised, although he has to pay restitution. He has to pay restitution. So if somebody steals a child, we call that kidnapping. That person is to be put to death, God said. You kidnap, you're to be put to death. Someone else steals, well, they're a thief. They're a thief and they pay restitution. But somebody steals a loaf of bread because they're starving, and God says in the Bible that you don't despise them, even though you do require them to pay restitution. You see how reasonable God is? God is reasonable. He says, come, let us reason together. You know, the next verse in Matthew 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. That's intense. Jesus was slamming these guys, slamming them. You travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Whoa, that's intense. Jesus was so angry at the Pharisees and the scribes because to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much has been committed, of him the Lord will ask the more. And the Pharisees, they had the scriptures. They taught the scriptures. They were the equivalent of a fundamentalist Sunday school teacher. If you wonder, what were the Pharisees? Who were they? They were fundamentalist Bible teachers. That's who they were. And as a fundamentalist Bible teacher myself, Pastor Bob Enyart, Denver Bible Church, we're an evangelical fundamentalist Bible church. We take these warnings to the Pharisees seriously because we recognize that we today in the body of Christ, we could also be hypocrites. We could take the Bible and turn it into a weapon of our flesh so that we walk in pride and we are self-righteous and we condemn others for not living up to our own standard of righteousness. And we are puffed up. These are all warnings in the Bible toward believers. So the Lord is slamming these Pharisees. I said earlier, Sadducees. Now, this Sadducees were a different sect than the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the United Methodists. In this section, the Lord is addressing the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. But the Sadducees are like the United Methodists. They deny the resurrection. They deny the resurrection, and they deny the literal truth of Scripture. Whereas the Pharisees were like Southern Baptist Sunday school teachers, or like the pastor of Denver Bible Church, that would be a Pharisee. And so the goal is to be a Pharisee like Nicodemus or the Apostle Paul after they came to the Lord, dropping the self-righteousness and the hypocrisy. So let's see. The Lord in Matthew 11 was speaking of the cities that he had done so many of his miracles in. In fact, he did most of his miracles in three cities. And he says, Bethsaida, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And Capernaum, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now, why is that? Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed because of homosexuality. In the city of Tyre, that it hated God, and it was ultimately wiped out, wiped off the face of the earth. And Jesus is saying that those cities on judgment day, in the day of judgment, they will not have it as bad as Capernaum. Capernaum, that's the city of Nahum, Capernaum, on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a large lake, actually, inland in Israel. And that city, named for Nahum, because he's the prophet by whose words God destroyed the Assyrians in their city of Nineveh about a century after Jonah. God prophesied through Jonah that 40 days in Nineveh will be destroyed, but then they repented, and God said, Jonah 3:10, that the Lord repented, God repented of the destruction that he had said he would bring upon Nineveh, and he did not do it. Why not? Because they repented, and that's the purpose of prophecy. Prophecies of coming judgment and doom, these warnings, they're given in the hopes that the prophecy will fail. Because God says, you're going to be destroyed, but they repented, and so then God didn't destroy them as he said he would. And Jonah was all upset. It's like somebody who believes in the settled view, that the future is settled and that God is not able to change the future. They get all upset when a prophecy doesn't come to pass. They get all upset. But Jonah was upset because the prophecy didn't come to pass. He was like a little Calvinist. And God said, what are you upset about, Jonah? You care more about the prophecy than about the souls, 120,000 souls in this great city? Is it right for you to be angry because I have been merciful to them? God did not make man for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for man. The Sabbath, that's God's law. And God did not make man for the prophecy. He made the prophecy for man. So that's why it's going to be worse for the Jews in the city of Capernaum who saw Jesus Christ in the flesh, God the Son, their Messiah, and the great works that he did, his mighty works, and they hated him. Just like all the nations of the world hate Jesus Christ. But it will be worse for them than for the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah. Revelation 18:7, in the measure that the wicked glorify themselves, in the same measure they shall be tormented. Now I paraphrase that because it's speaking of Babylon, that woman Babylon. And it actually says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And there's so many more passages. Just check out Luke chapter 20. Wow, those who will receive the greater condemnation. Ooh, it's ugly. In Proverbs 6, the things that the Lord really hates more than other things. We're going to have a seminar, not a seminar really, a presentation of Focus on the Strategy 2 a week from tonight at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver. And oh boy, I'd love it if you could come out. We're going to have a great time. And that will be at 7 p.m. in the evening. And Focus on the Strategy, our DVD, if you haven't seen it, it's a classic. You have 1 week to see it, and then to get to the Brown Palace, where you can see Focus on the Strategy 2, the sequel. And I think you'll absolutely love it. You will love it. And then we will do the same down in Colorado Springs, April 12th at 7 o'clock. And you could call us to register for either of these. It's $30 a person, $50 for a couple. Call us at 800-8-NYART. But we never turn away anyone because they can't afford an event. You could just let the person who answered the phone know what you can't afford. And then also, April 25th, it's a Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 at the Colorado Capitol. What an event. Colorado Right to Life is sponsoring a 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years since abortion became legal first in Colorado on that date, 40 years earlier, April 25th. Please, if you can, former UN Ambassador Alan Keyes will be there. Judy Brown, stalwart of the pro-life movement, and Judy is rock solid in her commitment to not compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder. And then also I'll invite you to our Easter sunrise service in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. That's Denver Bible Church. I will be presenting the message. This is out on a mountaintop just to the west of Denver. It is going to be great. 6 a.m. Resurrection Sunday morning. So please come on out. In the meantime, you can visit us at Denver Bible Church. If you live out of state, you can get our sermons by calling us at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. Facing the Giants, join us at Maranatha Christian Center a week from Friday, March 16th, 7 p.m., no admission charge. May God bless you all.